Good afternoon, it's 3 o'clock and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on Wednesday, the 12th of November, the year 2014. Jeff Farmer here on Juneau Afternoon. Today we'll get a preview of Will Dobson's presentation tonight before the Juneau World Affairs Council, Are Dictators Getting Smarter? Mike Satry will offer details about this weekend's ski sale, find out about the wine tasting this Friday with guest Matt Musselwhite from the Gastineau Humane Society. I'll highlight this week's mudrooms and we'll talk to Danny Peterson from 360 North to give us an update. Scott Burton will also be here to give us a preview of tomorrow's Writers' Showcase. At Writers' Almanac, Bird Note, Music and More today on a Juneau Afternoon. With the forecast for tonight, mostly clear skies, low temperatures around 26 degrees. Forecast for Thursday and Friday, sunny weather.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. There was a hearing in the Fairbanks 4 case this week. It was requested by the Alaska Innocence Project, which is attempting to overturn guilty convictions of George Freese, Kevin Pease, Marvin Roberts, and Eugene Vent. The men are in prison for a 1997 beating death. KUAC's Dan Bross reports.
The Alaska Innocence Project wants statements allegedly made by former Fairbanks resident Jason Wallace to his lawyer about John Hartman's killing unsealed. The Innocence Project contends Wallace, who's jailed for another murder, said things that corroborate the recent confession of former friend William Holmes. Holmes, who's also imprisoned for an unrelated killing, claims he and a group of friends, not the Fairbanks Four, randomly targeted Hartman, and Wallace delivered the deadly blows. The hearing on whether attorney-client privilege should be broken was close to the public, but dozens of Fairbanks Four supporters gathered outside the courtroom. Marvin Roberts' mother, Hazel Mayo, expressed hope that Wallace's statements will be released.
We're just all have our fingers crossed that the judge makes the right decision on this.
Requests for post-conviction relief for the Fairbanks Four submitted a year ago center on Holmes' confession and potential corroboration by Wallace. It's unclear how long Judge Paul Lyle will take to issue a decision on the sealed documents, but he must do so within 6 months. John Hartman's brother, Chris Kelly, has said he and his family believe the Fairbanks Four are guilty. For National Native News in Fairbanks, Alaska, I'm Dan Bross.
In the close governor's race in Alaska, Bill Walker and Byron Mallott will announce a transition team and co-chairs today in Anchorage. The campaign announced the move Tuesday following the tabulation of absentee and question ballots in which several thousand votes remained uncounted. The Alaska Division of Elections, as of Tuesday, showed they maintained a more than 4,000 vote lead over incumbent Governor Sean Parnell. Mallott is Alaska Native. The team has received much support from the Native community. The Native American Music Awards will be held Friday in New York. Reporter Steve Jackson has more on one of the honorees from the Pacific Northwest.
58-year-old Jim Boyd has been entertaining audiences for decades, and this week will be honored with a Lifetime Achievement Award at the annual Native American Music Awards ceremony. Previously, Boyd of the Colville Confederated Tribes had received several other awards, including Record of the Year and Songwriter of the Year. Boyd has been playing guitar since he was in junior high and originally was a lead guitar player for cover bands before he began writing songs in his 30s. Since then, he's released 14 albums of his music on a label that he started, Thunderwolf Records.
Knowing that I was going to produce and record and do non-commercial, non-mainstream type of music, in those days there was very few people doing that, and I didn't know. I mean, I knew that's the type of stuff that I was writing, so I had to do it.
Boyd describes his music as raw, res, and roll. Boyd also worked with author Sherman Alexie to create the music for the movie Smoke Signals. Boyd's career has taken an interesting turn in recent years, as he is now the chairman of the Colville Tribal Business Council.
I'm a Colville Tribal Indian, and I come from Michigan, from the lakes back by the river, across the border. My people fish the waters to the Columbia, time to lay, and Grand Coulee took the salmon.
That was Enchilium by Jim Boyd and Steve Jackson reporting. The American Indian Alaska Native Tourism Association is promoting Indian country tourism at the China International Travel Mart this week in Shanghai. The organization points to data collected at international events and federal studies to show that Chinese tourists have interest in Indian country destinations. According to the group, more than 1 million Chinese visitors traveled to the U.S. in 2012, with more than 10% of those visiting Indian country. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. The Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce's Convention and Tourism Department welcomes to Albuquerque the Striking Eagle Invitational Basketball Tournament and Educational Fair on December 31st. Information on services and the fair at ahcnm.org.
Program support by the Institute of American Indian Arts, offering the MFA in Creative Writing, featuring one-on-one mentorships with authors like Sherman Alexie, Natalie Diaz, and Joseph Boyden. More information available at iaia.edu/MFA.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Time is 3:06 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. First guest is Will Dobson, this writer for Slate Magazine, and also Jim Clark here from the Juneau World Affairs Council. Thanks for coming down to the station.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Jim, you want to give us an overview of the World Affairs Council, please?
Well, the World Affairs Council is a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization dedicated to bringing good speakers on international affairs to Juneau. And tonight we're delighted to have Will Dobson, and just as we've had, I think, pretty good speakers this last session. So it's for free, 5 o'clock tonight in the KTOO studio.
Will Dobson is Slate's politics and foreign affairs editor and author of The Dictator's Learning Curve, Inside the Global Battle for Democracy. Again, like Jim said, his speech starts today at 5 o'clock. I guess my first question is, define a dictator.
Well, dictators come in many different shapes and sizes nowadays. What I'm focusing on in my book is what I sort of refer to as the modern dictator, who is a far more sophisticated, savvy, and nimble individual than we often have in mind when we think of sort of the 20th century figures of Stalin and Mao or Pol Pot. These are leaders who have come to the realization that the best way for them to try to rule isn't necessarily through sheer oppression, but rather through more subtle forms of coercion. In many cases, from a distance, if you look at these regimes, they almost don't appear to be dictatorships. They speak the language of democracy. They have the rule of law. They interact with the United Nations, the World Trade Organization, what have you. But in fact, they share one key ingredient, which is that political power never changes hands.
Are they good, bad, or do you have an opinion?
Well, to some degree, putting labels like good or bad, it depends on what your interests are. It is the case that I think if you're in many of these countries, you might be of the opinion that they're not particularly desirable regimes to live under. Then again, if you're one of the lucky few who's benefiting from the system, perhaps you don't find it as objectionable. From the point of view of people from the outside, again, it depends on where you sit. In most cases, these are not regimes that particularly fear the United States, and that's because the United States, in its dealings with these countries, is very much intertwined.
How do they get in a position to amass so much power?
Well, it can vary. In some instances, you take someone like President Hosni Mubarak. He came from the military, and in the case of Egypt, as we see now with General Sisi, all of Egypt's modern leaders have been military men. There have been men who've worn the uniform and taken it off, donned a tie, and called themselves president. In the case of someone like Hugo Chavez, he took advantage of a country that had truly fallen apart and provided an economic populism that allowed him to win votes. What was interesting in his case is that on election day, they had free and fair elections. The problem was the other 364 days of the year, where the game was so incredibly rigged, so sophisticatedly rigged, that ensured the result on that one other day when people actually went to the polls. But that's an example of someone who came to power through the ballot box, but then having come to power democratically, ruled like an authoritarian. So there's a broad array. In the case of the Chinese Communist Party, you effectively have a system that promotes through the party its own bureaucracy, and through that has a consensual form of leadership that has traveled a great distance from sort of the more singular figures that we remember from the 20th century, like, of course, Mao.
What's the most common way, or what are some common ways of them losing power?
Well, I mean, in recent time, what we have seen is actual people power. We've seen people rising up against these regimes. And oftentimes, most effectively, they do so nonviolently. There's been a string of nonviolent revolutions. And in fact, you see when from 1900 to 2006, insurgencies that were nonviolent were successful 50% of the time, whereas violent insurgencies were successful only 25% of the time. What that means in many instances is that these leaders simply either flee or end up in prison, one or the other. Of course, others aren't as lucky, those like Muammar Gaddafi, who dig in and try to fight back against an uprising and end up finding a fate much like one that they delivered to so many of their citizens over their reign.
I'm talking with Will Dobson. He's going to be talking tonight at 5 o'clock in front of the World Affairs Council. His lecture is called "Are Dictators Getting Smarter? The Battle Between Dictatorship and Democracy." Define smarter.
Well, smarter in this context is becoming more savvy in preserving their political power, in seeing to it that, in fact, there is no change or handover of power. That's smarter. Smarter is doing so in a way where they're able to manage the costs of running a centralized state. And that's an important part of this, is that it's rarely been so difficult as it is today to be a dictator. These are not easy days. The pressures on these regimes are immense and far greater than they once were. And so trying to maintain that control without actually having people rise up against you, it's a difficult task. And we see a number who have refined their techniques, and in so doing have been able to hold on to power much longer than many people ever anticipated.
They could just cut their internet service.
Well, I mean, internet is certainly a very powerful force, but in some cases it becomes a dangerous thing that the regimes themselves rely on. For example, if you get a business card from a government official in Burma, it's more likely that they'll have their Gmail address in their business card than their government email address. Now, at a point like that, trying to take away internet service from a population is a good way to radicalize that population, in fact. If you think you had a problem before, take away, clamp down on the internet, as we saw in the case of Egypt, and you see even more people coming out into the streets because it's something that people have become dependent on and become reliant on. To lose something like that is an invasion of a personal freedom that only makes your case harder to maintain. So it's a double-edged sword.
What countries are you going to be talking about tonight?
Tonight I'll certainly talk about whatever countries people are interested in, but in my talk I'll be drawing off examples from my travels. And for the book, I spent time in Russia, China, Egypt, Venezuela, and Malaysia.
Is there a worst dictatorship in the world?
Well, I mean, I would think that most people would say probably the worst dictatorship in the world is one that really doesn't fit into what I've been describing, which is a modern, more sophisticated one. The worst would probably be one like North Korea, which has actually made a very different calculation and, in fact, is a bit of an anomaly in our world. They're the outlier in that they've essentially created what is a prison state. And in that way, they've done that because there are two things about North Korea that are true that aren't true of other places. Is one, they have nuclear weapons, and two, they have absolutely no qualms with murdering a fair percentage of their population. So those two things, their tolerance to use the most incredible and abusive forms of repression on their own people, and the fact that they can shield themselves from outside pressure because of the weapons that they have obtained, have allowed them to perpetuate themselves.
Besides North Korea, what are some other hot spots around the world?
Well, there are many. Places that I think that, one should keep one's eye on are places like Sudan, where you have an active opposition, an active civil society, and you have a dictator in Bashir who is extremely repressive and walking a very tight rope, and has been challenged very much in recent years. In the case of Burma, that's another where you see a regime that has it's done something very atypical, which is that it has gone from being a complete pariah state to very quickly trying to open itself up to the outside world. That could be a case of hubris. It could be a case of envy in terms of looking at their neighbors and thinking that they could do this too. They could be the next Vietnam, which has been very effective in opening up its economy while maintaining party control. But they find themselves in a delicate situation as well.
Well, Dawson is a Slate's politics and foreign affairs editor. Brief picture, Slate.
Sure. Slate is an online magazine. It's actually somewhat of a grandfather of internet journalism, in that Slate has been around for 18 years, which is pretty much the entire length of the internet for in terms of active publishing. We are a general interest magazine, so whereas I oversee our coverage of politics and foreign affairs, we also cover culture, the arts, literature, you name it. Basically, anything that's of interest to human beings is something that's of interest to Slate.
I'm talking with Will Dobson. He's talking tonight at the World Affairs Council downstairs at 360 Studios. Will, is there anything you'd like to add? I might have forgotten to ask.
No. Thank you very much.
For our information, just for illustration, how you intend to run the nation.
These are the laws of my administration. No one's allowed to smoke or tell a dirty joke, and whistling is forbidden.
We're not allowed to tell a dirty joke.
If chewing gum is chewed, the chewer is pursued, and in the hoose cow hidden.
If we choose to chew, we'll be pursued.
If any form of pleasure is exhibited, report to me and it will be prohibited. I'll put my foot down, so shall it be. This is the land of the free. The last man nearly ruined this place. He didn't know what to do with it. If you think this country's bad off, now just wait till I get through with it. Country's taxes must be fixed, and I know what to do with it. If you think you're paying too much, now just wait till I get through with it. I will not stand for anything that's crooked or unfair. I'm strictly on the up and up, so everyone beware. If anyone's caught taking graft, and I don't get my share, we stand them up against the wall, and pop goes the weasel.
So everyone beware.
Roger Marks from the movie Duck Soup. Time is 3:17, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau. Next guest is Mike Safety. He is here to talk about the 62nd annual ski sale coming up this November 15th. Mike, thank you for being on the show with me today.
Well, thank you so much for the invite. We always love talking about the ski sale.
So for people who do not know about the ski sale, could you educate them, please?
Absolutely. So this is the 62nd annual ski sale, and what it is, it's a sale that's put on by the Juneau Ski Patrol and the Juneau Ski Club as a fundraiser each year. We ask people to bring in all of their gently used winter outdoor sporting equipment. I mean, we focus on the skis and the Nordic skis and the snowboards and all that associated gear, but we have lots of winter clothes, backpacks, and other items that get brought in. We'll be taking those items starting tomorrow evening at 5 p.m. At Centennial Hall. We'll also take items for consignment Friday evening starting at 4 p.m. until 8:30 p.m. and then again on Saturday morning from 7:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. After that, we'll close the doors up to the sale. We'll open them back up to the public at 10 a.m. Sale only lasts for 3 hours. So it's $5 to get in, although kids 12 and under are free. And it's just a great place to stock up on gently used outdoor sporting equipment and gear that will help make your Juneau winter that much more fantastic.
And this is a benefit.
It is a benefit. It's a nonprofit funding activity for two groups that really help support Eagle Crest, the Juneau Ski Club, of which I'm part of, that does the youth ski racing here in town, and the Volunteer Juneau Ski Patrol, which supports all of the emergency services activities and safety activities with the professional patrol up at Eagle Crest.
What are some of the big events that people should be looking forward to?
In terms of the clubs or at the sale itself?
It wasn't going to be that close, but now it's open. Let's talk about the scale too.
Yeah. We're all just waiting patiently for Eagle Crest to be open, and Eagle Crest will be at the sale to sell their lessons, to sell season's passes. This is the last weekend you can buy the reduced season's passes up at Eagle Crest. We'll have information on the Juneau Ski Club, on the Juneau Ski Patrol, all available at the sale. And you know, one of the things that we always get asked at the sale is how do we pay? And for years and years and years, it's just been cash or check. But you're the first one in town to know. But this is going to be the first year that we are going to accept credit cards at the sale. So it should be nice and convenient for everybody.
How is the sale and drop-off times?
So the sale times, I'm sorry?
Yes, please.
Yeah. So the sale times themselves, it starts at 10 a.m. at Centennial Hall, and people line up early. People really want that chance to get inside and get the first crack at the gear. But 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., so it's only 3 short hours. But I'll tell you, a family can come in, get completely outfitted for the winter with snow pants, jackets, hats, gloves, goggles, sleds, skis, whatever they need in regards to winter sporting equipment, it will be there.
And upcoming events for the season.
So we're all hoping that Eagle Crest opens at the beginning of December. The youth ski racing programs, which you can learn more about at JunoSkiClub.com or our Facebook page, those will all get started right away, and our first races will be in January. I don't know as much about the Juneau Ski Patrol, but I know they've been doing lots of training lately, making sure that they're prepped to keep everybody safe on the mountain.
All right, Mike Satry, talking about the ski sale coming up this weekend. Anything you'd like to add? I might have forgotten to ask.
Don't forget to bring in your gear. We only have gear to sell if you bring it in. So stop by Centennial Hall Thursday, Friday night, and Saturday morning. Give us your gear for consignment. You'll sell it. You'll make some money, and you'll be able to buy some more gear yourself.
What kind of a process is it to get your gear checked in?
It's really simple. We'll give you a sheet of paper where you list the items out in terms of what it is, the color, the size, and we can even help you determine pricing if you're a little bit unsure. And we'll give you the form, and we'll take your gear, and we'll get it out. We'll put it out on the floor, get it all properly marked, and if it sells, you'll be able to come back actually on Saturday night and get a check for the items that you sold, and you'll be able to pick up the items that you didn't sell.
Somebody who's running hand is going to be very tired.
They are, but you know what? We're happy to help. We have lots and lots of volunteers, and we couldn't do it without the help of all those volunteers.
Mike, thanks for coming by today.
Thank you so much.
Just a little downhill fun. Snowflakes are falling. A mountain is calling. Crowd shouts out from below. 5, 4, 3, 2, all eyes upon you. Now it's time to go. Every muscle straining, 1,000 hours of training, all hanging on this run. Swearing in your stories that cheating death or glory is just a little downhill fun. Hanging by your edges, high above the ledges, every gate is just a blur. Voices calling faster, dancing with disaster, speed's the deadly lure. Every muscle straining, 1,000 hours of training, all hanging on this run. Swearing in your stories that cheating death for glory is just a little downhill fun. Just a little downhill fun.
Stancliffe, time is 3:23, and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. In the studio with me now is Matt Musselwhite here to talk about the Gastineau Humane Society. And just as we're getting all ready to talk about the wine tasting, Matt says it's sold out.
Yeah. Unfortunately, or fortunately, I'm not sure. I guess it's fortunately, it's sold out. But, of course, I came here to talk to you about that. Thank you, by the way, for having me in this afternoon. Yes, the wine tasting is sold out. Those of you that have tickets, just a reminder, it's Friday, this coming Friday at the Hangar on the Wharf Ballroom. It's going to be from 5 to 8 p.m. If there's any businesses that would like to contribute to our silent auction, you can certainly call us and we can get some silent auction items from your business or from individuals, you can call us at the Humane Society and we can set that up still.
Matt, you've taken over from longtime worker Shahaba Lee.
Yes.
Executive director of the
Big Shoes to Fill.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, tell us a little about yourself, please.
I am originally from up in the interior. I moved down here when I was about five or so. I've been in Juneau since 78, so I think I've been here long enough to kind of understand a little bit of the dynamics of Juneau. And, I'm a longtime pet lover and have a dog. And me and my wife, we just lost one of our dogs recently, unfortunately. But we're definitely part of the Juneau animal community and enjoy our pets.
Any big changes coming to the Gastineau Humane Society?
Nothing big. Everything is kind of a slow progression. One of the big things I'm working on is just kind of coming up in technology. We're working on, or we have implemented, kind of a neat system for lost and found pets. It's accessible from our website at www.ghspets.org. So if you found an animal or if you've lost your pet, you can log on to the website and file electronic lost or found pet report. And that report is forwarded to a mobile device, a tablet that the animal control officers carry with them. And it's accessible by them for 24 hours a day. So if in the middle of the night they get a report of an animal being found and you've filed the lost report, the person that found the animal and the person that lost the animal can be connected to get the animal home sooner.
How is GHS funded?
GHS is a 501c3 nonprofit. We work off of... of course, contributions from the public and from fundraising events such as this wine tasting events on Friday. We also have a contract with the city for the animal control and protection services that are provided to the people of the city of Borough Juneau.
You also have a calendar available.
We do, yeah. It's right here, actually. If you'd like to take a look, and everybody in the radio land like to take a look, it's... our Pets of Alaska annual calendar. I believe this is the fourth year that we've had this calendar. It gets better and better every year. They're available at the shelter and will be available at the wine tasting event on Friday. And the cost is $15. And the money raised by these calendars goes directly to help the animals at our shelter.
There's a list of the things that you're looking for. Is looking for people to adopt small animals.
Yes, we've had a huge influx of small animals lately. I think we have seven or eight ferrets right now. We have lots of guinea pigs, lots of gerbils. We have a couple of chinchillas. They've kind of flooded into the shelter, and they take up a lot of space. We're kind of having to put, animal cages places where we normally don't, like administrative offices, to be able to care for all these animals. So if you're looking for a small pet, maybe to teach pet care and ownership responsibilities to your children, this is a perfect opportunity to come in and see what we have.
How many adoptions did you have last year?
Last year, we actually had a real good year. We had 330, just over 330 adoptions. So that was a fairly big year.
Is that mostly dogs, mostly cats? Or?
Yeah, mostly dogs and cats.
Or some of the staff?
No, mostly dogs and cats.
Is there a favorite breed people like to go for?
Boy, for dogs, Labradors, of course, are super, super popular here in Juneau. Labradors, Golden Retrievers, smaller dogs, Chihuahuas are pretty popular. And, of course, there's so many varieties of cats that, different cat people tend to have their particular breed that they really like and stick with.
All right. How much do dog licenses cost?
Dog licenses, which are going to be available after the 15th of this month, License for an altered dog is $15. An unaltered dog is $35. And those licenses need to be purchased for 2015 by January 1st. They're due.
Tell me about the foster home program.
Well, we have a program when we have special needs animals come into the shelter, particularly litters of kittens, sometimes puppies, that they need a little bit more attention than we can provide. They need kind of 24-hour supervision. And that's where our foster program comes in. People can sign up to be kind of on call to care for special needs animals that come into the shelter.
And I think he used volunteers a lot to do dog walking.
We do, yeah. Well, that's, of course, the foster program is a volunteer program. We also have lots of other volunteer opportunities at the shelter. Like you said, Jeff, dog walking is a common one. If you want to, show one of our animals a nice afternoon and show it some extra love, just stop by the shelter. We can set you up with a dog to take for a walk up and down Glacier Highway for a little while, and I'm sure you'll make that pet's or that animal's day.
Well, it's too bad the wine tasting is sold out, but you have a lot of other activities that you keep busy with.
We do. Now, some of you may notice that we didn't have a pet festival this year. We've elected to go to a biannual, every 2 year pet festival, and maybe make it a bigger, a bigger event. So be looking for that next year. But this wine tasting is we intend to have an annual event with this, and it looks like it's going pretty well. We've sold it out and hope to do well with our silent auction as well.
Phone number and website again?
Sure. Phone number 789-0260, and the website for the shelter is www.ghspets.org.
Matt Musselwhite, thank you very much for coming down to the station. Anything you'd like to add? I might have forgotten to ask.
Nope, I think we covered it. Thank you, Jeff.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 12th of November, 2014. It's the anniversary of the first recorded observance of a meteor shower in North America. On this date, 1799, an American astronomer named Andrew Ellicott Douglas was on a ship off the Florida Keys when he wrote that the whole heaven appeared as if illuminated with skyrockets flying in an infinity of directions. It was 60 years ago on this day that Ellis Island formally closed its doors after processing more than 12 million immigrants to the United States in its more than half century of service. It was only the third class and steerage passengers who had to go through Ellis Island. The first class and the second class passengers were given a brief inspection on board their ships, and then they were waved on through. It's the birthday of DeWitt Wallace, the founder of Reader's Digest, born in St. Paul, 1889. His father taught Greek and Old English at McAllister College, but the son rebelled against the father. He wanted to be a businessman and make money. He served in World War I in the Army. He was seriously wounded, and during his recovery, he read hundreds of magazines and realized that you could put out a magazine full of condensed articles from other magazines, and it would be a big hit. The first issue came out in February 1922. It's the birthday of Elizabeth Cady Stanton, Johnstown, New York, 1815, feminist, women's suffragist, who helped to organize the first women's rights convention in America, Seneca Falls, New York, 1848. Elizabeth Cady Stanton, who said, "The moment we begin to fear the opinions of others and hesitate to tell the truth that is in us and are silent when we should speak, the divine floods of light and life no longer flow into our souls." And it's the birthday of Tracy Kidder, born in New York, 1945, started out as a fiction writer, but then decided he would rather write about real people. In the late 70s, spent 8 months living in the basement of Data General Corporation watching engineers at work on a new microcomputer. The book, The Soul of a New Machine, was one of the first non-technical books about the computer industry. It won the Pulitzer Prize when it came out in 1981. Here's a poem for today by Ron Kirchy, entitled Sidekicks. They were never handsome, and often came with a hormone imbalance manifested by corpulence, a yodel of a voice, or ears big as kidneys. But each was brave. More than once a sidekick has thrown himself in front of our hero in order to receive the bullet or blow meant for that perfect face and body. Thankfully, heroes never die in movies and leave the sidekick alone. He would not stand for it. Gabby or Pat, Poncho or Andy remind us of a part of ourselves, the dependent part that can never grow up, the part that is painfully eager to please, always wants a hug and never gets enough. Who could sit in a darkened theater, listen to the organ music, and watch the best of ourselves lowered into the ground while the rest stood up there, tears pouring off that enormous nose? Sidekicks, a poem by Ron Kirchy from Life on the Edge of the Continent, published by University of Arkansas Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetryfoundation.org. And by Arizona State University, with more than 70 campus degrees now available 100% online at online.asu.edu. Engineered by Noah Smith, produced by Joy Biles. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Wasabi-crusted salmon with lemon curd and halibut tacos with spicy crema and fresh salsa, prepared by the Breeze Inn. Just two of the 12 dishes being prepared for the KTOO and Taku Smokery's Seafood Fest. November 15th at the Jack. Tickets available at ktoo.org.
Come celebrate Juneau's world-class trails with Trail Mix at our annual dinner and silent auction, Saturday, November 22nd, 6 p.m. at Centennial Hall. All proceeds for this event go towards our work on the North Bridget Cove Trail, as well as other trail projects here in Juneau. Tickets available online at junotrails.org, at the Jack, Hearthside Books, and Rainy Retreat Books. Join us November 22nd. This message brought to you by Trail Mix Incorporated.
Time is 3:37, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. My name is Jeff Fenn. I'm your host for today. In the studio with me next is Danny Peterson from 360 North. Here with an update on activities going on the TV station.
Hi, thanks, Jeff. Tonight, first of all, at 8 p.m., is a great show, Watchers of the North. It's kind of got the production value of a reality show, but without any of the phoniness of a reality show, and it's about Canadian Rangers in the Arctic. It's really a pretty good show. And then tomorrow night, Thursday night at 8 p.m., before I move on to tomorrow, tonight is the taping of Juneau World Affairs Council Will Dobson. So if you're in town, you can come to that. It's at the At 360 studio. And I believe the doors open at 5. And we're going to broadcast that program on Friday. So just be aware of that. And then Thursday is Alaska Originals, Amy Liu and Josh Lockhart. That's Thursday at 8 p.m. And Friday, as I mentioned, Juneau World Affairs Council. And did you have something to say about the JWAC?
Just we talked to him earlier on the show.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was a very interesting discussion. He's the editor of Slate, I guess. Yeah, it's got to be fascinating. And then next week is Alaska Coalition on Housing and Homelessness. We're going to rebroadcast that conference. So those were conferences that were done at the end of September, beginning of October. They're actually pretty interesting programs. One that I particularly remember was someone who gave a presentation on trauma-informed care, and it really kind of struck me as something that changed the way I saw the world a little bit. There's something of a pop psychology side to it, because it's a lot of clinicians and psychologists and sociologists kind of explaining complicated issues to a layman. So there's a lot of interesting stuff that for any viewer, and it's about addressing the problem of homelessness in Alaska. And it's going to be broadcasted from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Thursday of next week. So the 17th through the 18th, the 19th rather, sorry. All of those programs, by the way, the Alaska Council on Housing and Homelessness conferences, all of them are available online. So if you're like me, if you're a millennial and you're used to all of your video being served to you a la carte, we do have that service too. And if you just go to projects.360north.org/roof and you click on the Alaska Coalition on Housing and Homelessness logo, you will find all the videos of the conferences there, including the trauma-informed care one that I mentioned, as well as a lot of others. And it's really interesting and important discussions happening. The week after that, as an alternative programming during the week of Thanksgiving, if you're not a football fan, you know, we'll be rebroadcasting the First Alaskans Institute Elders and Youth Conferences and the AFN conferences that we aired a couple weeks ago. So that's about it for now.
All right. Thanks, Danny Peterson, for coming in and talking about the great things that are available on 360 North. You can watch it online by going to 360north.org.
This is Bird Note. Birds brighten our lives. We find joy in their songs, inspiration in their soaring flight. They connect us with nature. But sometimes, birds connect us a bit too directly with nature. Park under the wrong tree, one where a flock of starlings or grackles comes to roost, and nature may be painted in white on your car so thickly that it takes a trip or two through the car wash just to see through the windshield again. Aside from helping you decide where not to park next time, this messy event raises a scientific question. Why is most of the bird poop we see white? The answer lies in the fact that birds, unlike mammals, don't produce urine. Instead, they excrete nitrogenous wastes in the form of uric acid, which emerges as a white paste. And uric acid doesn't dissolve in water easily. Hence, its ability to stick to your windshield like blobs of white plaster. It appears that drivers of some cars might be asking for trouble. A study in England found that red cars are most likely to be the target of bird droppings, followed by blue and black. Green was the least likely. So be careful where you park, and give that red Mercedes a wide berth. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
Programming support on KTOO is provided by Silver Bow Bakery and Catering, announcing ready-to-serve Thanksgiving meals for 8 to 12 people or half orders serving 4 to 6, ready for pickup and eat Thanksgiving Day. Silver Bow Catering, accepting Thanksgiving orders at 586-4146.
Dear Mom, thank you for quitting smoking. It's hard to do, but smoking can kill you, so quitting saved your life. I'm so lucky to have parents like you and Dad. Other parents would probably say, oh, he's just a kid. Love, Nick.
My kids inspired me to quit. Find your reason to quit smoking.
Call Alaska's Tobacco Quit Line, free for all Alaskans, at 1-800-QUIT-NOW.
This message is brought to you by Search, your partner in health.
Time is 3:44, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau. Next guest is Katie Spielberger, here to talk about tonight's taping of Mudrooms. Katie, thanks for coming on the station today.
Thanks for having me.
For people who have been in a closet or a hole And do not know what this Mudrooms stuff is. Can you educate us, please?
Sure. So Mudrooms is a monthly event that we've been having for a few years now. And basically, it's a live storytelling event. We'll have seven storytellers telling seven-minute stories around a monthly theme. This month's theme, for example, is sibling rivalry. So we'll have seven storytellers, and these are not professional storytellers, just your friends and neighbors telling personal stories from their lives, generally not scripted, sort of the kind of stories you might hear over dinner or a drink or a campfire. So personal stories around the theme of sibling rivalry.
Who are the tellers going to be?
Our storytellers tonight are Thomas Fletcher, Kate Troll, Jesslyn Rintala, Marcus Blankenship, Stuart Gerger, Joe Clark, and Dave Parrish.
And these people just signed up?
Yeah.
Takes a lot of nerve to sign up.
Yeah, it sure does. We try and recruit people who we think might be good storytellers, or sometimes people who know a friend who might be a good storyteller will get them involved. But some people come to our events, hear other storytellers, and think, hey, that's something I would like to do. I have a good story. And I think we get a lot of people. So if people are interested, they should definitely come to the event, check it out, and see if that's something that they'd be interested in doing in the future.
And we've just been joined by Amanda Compton, who's helped us start the meeting.
This is true. So, hi.
So you donate a percentage of the income to...
Not a percentage. Sure, 100%.
Okay, that's close enough.
That's a percentage.
What was it for this week or this month?
This month, what is the profit recipient?
Yes.
Who? Aware. We've over 3,000 this period so far in the last two, three events. I guess over 26,000 to date. And as I walked in, Katie was talking about just not professional storytellers. That means that it's going to be really entertaining, and some people that are amazing at those dinner party stories will get up and really come to life. And then, like, I was at my physician's office, and she said, you know, my 9-year-old went, which is another point. Like, this is an all-ages entertainment show. You don't need a babysitter. My 9-year-old went, and he really wants to get up there. So we might have a 9-year-old up there. Some of our really great ones were by high schoolers. And some people are freaked out and have to, like, hold on to something. And some people just... they're totally confident, so it's on their bucket list to do a big public speaking event or to stand up. And it's really fun because it's a mixed bag. And I like that we don't scream. We don't have rehearsals. If we have room for you and you can commit to it, we'll get you up there.
Has there been one of those times where you're just listening to the story and you get the goosebumps all over your body?
Goosebumps, laughter. Some of them have take-home messages. It really is a mixed bag. It's a great experience every time, and I think some of the lore is two particular things. One is you never know. It's like getting a gift bag from a odd store or something. Like, you don't know what's going to be in it. There could be your favorite apples, and there could be, like, a Pez candy stick. You just don't know. And I think the other part that makes it appealing is the sense of vulnerability, where not only are the people on stage feeling comfortable and ready to open up a little bit, but people who are there are accepting and willing and excited to listen to that and share that, which is, I mean, it's like falling in love in a way. You have to, like, expose yourself a little bit and take whatever happens.
And it happens tonight at 7 o'clock?
And it happens tonight at 7 p.m. sharp. That doesn't mean Juno 7 p.m. That means Alita Bus 7 p.m. So lights are dimming.
She's tough.
Got some teeth for that time. No, it's all of us. We'd like to keep people coming and know that, like, you can go on and do other things after this. So it's nice to be able to wrap up at 8:30, which means it's nice to come a little bit early and get your seat. Get in the door by then, because we'll have cookies by the Rookery. So if you're hungry, don't worry about making a big meal. Just eat dessert for dinner.
And where does this all happen?
What's that?
Where does it all happen?
It all happens at Northern Light United Church. They've been a great venue for us. We actually had their pastor speak at our last one, and he'll be online pretty soon here. And I think you went through the speakers.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay. And so we have one spot available for December's event right now. December 9th is a Tuesday. People are confused because it goes Tuesday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We have one spot, and the theme is accidents happen. It's kind of wide. We're expecting some craziness, and you can get us at mudrooms.org as our email. And we're always looking for musicians. Did you mention we had marimba tonight?
Yeah, we have marimba band playing tonight. And we need musicians for
January.
So any musicians out there should get in touch with us.
You and your guitar.
What does the season run?
Through May. We have 8 events, 4-for-1 charity, or not charity, 4-for-1 organization, 4-for-another one, and we've thrown in an extra one in September that can support one particular cause that could use $1,500. So we do take suggestions on recipients and themes. We'll be coming out with new themes. So
Jeff Brown.
You want Jeff Brown as a theme?
No. I'll take the money. I'm just kidding.
I think you're better as a theme. You're kind of like a caricature.
So it happens tonight at 7 o'clock at Northern United Church, and you could hear it on the radio if all things technical work.
Yeah, the last Thursdays of the month we'll be airing it.
And if
you just want to get notes about when the next one is so you don't have to rely on happening to be tuning to this station at 3:45 the day of, then you can find our email at mudrooms.org and ask to get notes, and we try not inundate you.
All right, Amanda Compton and Katie Spielberger, anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
There's so much to talk about.
Come tonight, hear these stories. Sibling rivalry, like many of our themes, I think is something that a lot of people can relate to. So
there's going to be some good stories. You don't want to miss tonight.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's 3:52 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Next guest is Scott Byrne here to talk about the Writer's Showcase, which is coming up tomorrow.
Yes, Jeff, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming down the hall.
Yes, a Writer's Showcase. Tomorrow night will be the live TV recording. It's at 7 p.m. downstairs at 360. Admission is free. Doors open at 6:30. I would suggest if you'd like to come, you get here sometime around 6:45, start doing sort of intro stuff, and then the cameras roll at 7.
And who's going to be on tomorrow?
We have a great cast of characters tomorrow. Jeff Kirsch is one of them. He's going to be reading How to Make the Perfect Hanukkah Latke.
And if you know Jeff, he's just hilarious, a great writer and a great performer. Carol Prentice wrote a piece called When the Thanksgiving Table Turns. Patricia Hole is going to be performing that. Becca Braun wrote a beautiful, heartfelt piece about family and tradition. We'll have an excerpt from Riding the Wild Side of Denali, a fun piece there. And, of course, our special guest tomorrow is award-winning author Seth Kantner. He wrote Ordinary Wolves. He will be reading a piece that's never been published before that he wrote for this show, Jeff. It's going to be pretty cool.
You've been collecting stories for a couple of months, it seems like.
Yeah, we have. You know, we put out a shout-out, must have been 3 months ago or something, looking for holiday-themed pieces. And that's one of the things that I do love about this show is that it's Alaskan. It's works by Alaskan writers, original works. And so It feels good that we have a venue for that that people can write for, and we've gotten some really good stuff, so I'm thankful for the folks that have contributed, and it's a fun venue.
And it costs nothing to get in.
Yeah, it's absolutely free, and then it will live on our YouTube site, and it will eventually be broadcast statewide, and we'll be taking... we'll be taking the audio from it and we'll play it on the radio. You and I were talking about doing that, so looking forward to that. And, you know, if you haven't seen or heard this show yet, I sort of liken it to NPR's selected shorts a bit. So it's kind of like that to give you maybe an image.
And it all starts at what time tomorrow?
It all starts at 7 p.m. tomorrow, Thursday, in At 360, our television studio downstairs here in the KTOO building.
Scott Burton, thank you for coming by today. Anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
No, Jeff, thanks for having me.
And you are tuned to KTMO News in Juneau here next in the studios. Rena Sims, who's got a few seconds here to look for more holiday turkeys.
Happy Thanksgiving to everyone here in Juneau. We are looking forward to the family here in Juneau coming together and donating some turkeys, some green beans, some corn, some stuffing, some yams, some money. Here's an address that you can send to us. We are 500 people strong that are on the list. We have several agencies, and as this very moment, we only have 200 turkeys. Thank you, David McDonald. And we have some canned goods, thanks to Alaska Litho, but we are shy of what we need.
That's right, but we have had some groups step forward, and the Juneau Douglas Eagle Area 4200 is going to help us out. They've made a generous donation, and on December 12th, they are doing a dinner and an art auction with all of the proceeds going to St. Vincent de Paul for Christmas for the Adopt a Family program this year. But currently, we are in need of some Thanksgiving items, and I'm really not that worried because I've never seen Juneau fail yet.
And here is the address that you can drop by and or send in the mail, 8617 Till Street. The telephone number there at St. Vincent de Paul is 789-5535. If you want to donate online, it's www.svjuneau.org. You can donate with your credit card online. We are shy what we need today.
Rena and Louise, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you, Jeff.
The Copper Wheel Inn, located in downtown Anchorage, near the city's restaurants, galleries, museums, and business district. The Copper Wheel Inn, with reservations online at copperwheel.com.
Time is 3:58. You are tuned to KTMO News in Juneau. Tomorrow on a June afternoon, Shona Strasser will be your host. Talk with Troy Quinn, guest conductor for the Juno Symphony's weekend concerts. Seth Hanner and Beth Hill will be here to highlight their new children's book, Pup and Pokey. Kristen Cox will be here to talk about tomorrow's Great American Smokeout. We'll hear about local arts activities of the regular feature Arts Up with Nancy DeTourney. At Reddit's Almanac, Burnout Music and More, tomorrow at 3 on a Juno afternoon. With the forecast for tonight, mostly clear skies with patchy fog, low temperatures 25 to 33 degrees. Forecast for Thursday, sunny weather with high temperatures around 41 degrees. Friday, sunny weather with high temperatures around 38 degrees. Saturday, more sun with high temperatures around 44 degrees. Thanks for tuning in to Juno Afternoon today, and have a great evening.
This is KTOO Juno. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juno and Douglas. We rebroadcast on translators K276AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay, K269AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creeks, K201AM in Gustavus, K220BT in Hoonah, and K210AS in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. In Juneau, KTOO is on GCI Cable, on digital channel 871. We're also online at ktoo.org. Support for national programming on KTOO comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you.
It's hard to imagine a more important signal.